Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
It almost, it felt like I was trying to set up the all musical episode that we've been teasing.
Oh God, for such please a don't. Time. Please don't ever make me do that.
Would you prefer that if I did do that, I sort of like sprung it on you?
No.
No, you would want to know ahead of time.
No to both.
See, I think you would have an easier time if you didn't have to prepare. Like, if you knew the musical episode was coming up, it's going to stress you out for an extended period of time. As opposed to, I just start singing when we start recording, and you're like, well, this sucks, but, you know, at least it's going to be 40 minutes or so, and then it's
Here's the thing. Like, I really like to yes and your choices on this show.
Yeah.
And if that's not true, I want it to be true.
I feel like it's mostly true.
And I feel like on a musical episode, I would be so miserable.
You beatbox. You could do the beatbox.
I can't do that either.
Oh, shoot.
Flute? I mean, maybe. It's been a long time since I've played it. Yeah. I don't even know where it is. I don't know if I still have it.
Your flute? You have it in like a hard shell case, like you're a hitman, like you're a sniper, you know?
Do they usually put flutes in soft cases?
I don't know.
I don't think they typically put instruments in soft cases because you really don't want that thing to get, you know, beat up.
I don't know. I assume a flute is pretty strong. I don't think I could bend a flute over my knee. Well, I've never tried, though.
Yeah.
Why don't you go find your flute? I'll try to bend it over my knee like a big, strong man.
It's just there's a bunch of, like, click-clacky, like, keys on there.
Sure.
And they can get all out of whack.
Yeah. And no one knows what they do, what the buttons on the flute does. That's why, like, even you just kind of, like, press the buttons until the sound is, like, right.
Yeah, but, no, like, you just learn, guesswork. Like, which finger. I mean, it's like guitar. It's like, oh, these two go here.
I think.
And that sounds
sounds
like
music.
Music.
This is a wonderful show. We talk about things that are good, things we like, things we're into. Do you have any small wonders for me to snack on? Yum, yum.
I'm still playing Stardew Valley.
Oh, yeah. Don't say anything else, though, because if they want to hear that, they got to dish
I
out.
I know. I was thinking maybe we should set some kind of pledge goal where I provide, like, an update on my experience.
Sure.
Because I am in year two.
We should do a video where I get to tour your farm. Although you've warned me that your farm is not quite aesthetically.
Okay. It's okay.
You've been very secretive. Even to me, your husband, your partner.
Well, I still don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it,
yeah.
Obviously. I feel like maybe even I'm on year three now.
Good
like
Lord Almighty. I don't think I've ever made it to year three.
Really?
I think I usually get all my business done within the first two calendar years, and then I'm on to the net. Well, no, I'm not saying I'm better at the game than
it
you.
It sounds like
I play it in a fundamentally cruel and broken way.
I have started Googling a lot, which is surprised even myself.
Yeah.
Of like, all right, I've got to know. I can't catch a sturgeon. What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And like you realize after you do that, oh, it's only available in this one season, in this one place. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
But it's been a nice thing for me to do, you know, when I want to check out for a little bit.
Sure.
And maybe listen to a show, and I'm enjoying it.
Good. I'm really glad to hear that. I should have come up with something while you were talking.
You get so excited when I talk about Stardew Valley. It's like you can't help.
I just start thinking about Stardew Valley, and then like the rest of the thing is... It just goes off the rails.
You want some help?
Yeah.
Television, music, snack foods.
Well, no, you're just yelling things. We talked about Perfect Match, I think, already.
Yes.
We talked about the sort of having that big garbage bag to climb inside every night, like and just make a warm little garbage tent for.
Yes.
How about?
We've talked about bubbles before. We've been doing a lot of bubbles lately.
We've been doing a ton of bubbles.
Any variations on bubbles?
This is the most I've ever struggled
with this,
I think. Henry makes little crafts at school sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're so sweet because sometimes he makes them specifically for us.
Yeah.
And yesterday he made a little boxy little orange man made out of orange tape. That was me, and it said number one dad on it, and the one is backwards. It's like so unbelievably cute.
He made a little smiling Groot, which is like...
And wrote happy Groot on it. And he spelled happy, H-A-P-E-E. It's like so freaking cute.
Yeah, they really do kindergarten right.
They
now.
Do it so good.
I feel like he comes home and you can tell he did it himself without help.
Yeah.
And put the work in and did it his own way. And I feel like he is supported and creative, and it's exciting.
When I pick him up from school, I do the conveying of the biggest son, and
yes.
When I pick him up from school, he comes out of the door, and if he's made something to show me, he like stops right there. Like first thing he says, like, "I made something for you," and just like pulls it out of his bag. It's so good.
And then he'll come home and he'll tell me, like, go look in my backpack at the thing I made for daddy.
It's going to blow your mind. I go first this week.
Yes.
I'm very excited.
Yes.
I'm talking about Petey. I was sent a song by my oldest brother, Justin McElroy, a couple
Justin
nights
McElroy,
ago.
Justin McElroy, tastemaker for taste this maker, household.
For sure. Since receiving this song like two nights ago, I've listened to it like 20 times.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. That song is called Don't Tell the Boys by Petey. I'm going to play that a little bit later after I talk about Petey. But that song has been like a chain letter for me since first hearing it, because I've now sent it to many of my friends who I assume it will resonate with in a similar way. And it's the success rate on that assumption has just been 100%. It's been very meaningful to a lot of people in my life, which I think speaks to the strength of the song.
Can you tell me who Petey is or anything about
Petey? So a little background. Petey is Peter Martin. He's born in Detroit, lives in California now. He has been making music for a long time now. He started out in an emo band called Young Jesus back in 2013. and so he's been making music for a while, but right when his music career started to kind of blossom, COVID hit and sort of put the brakes on it. And so he did what the rest of us did, and he joined TikTok. And I'd seen a few of his TikToks before hearing any of his music. And they're so completely my shit. Like,
are they always musical in nature?
No,
are they
not at all.
Okay.
They're very sort of absurdist, wholesome humor that are fairly long form, I would say, for the TikTok platform. He has a whole series of TikToks about Puff Sullivan, the Sig King of Central High, who gives cigarettes out to all of his like grateful friends to solve all their problems. I'm not going to go on and describe this man's entire body of TikTok work, but it's exceptional. It's one of few, I think, TikTok creators who I can just like get on his page and just watch every one of them and have a lovely little time. So his TikTok blew up during like the peak of COVID, and his music career has kind of followed in step. He's released an album. He's released two albums over the last 2 years. They've both been excellent. I've been listening to all of them for over the last 2 days. And there's still definitely, I would say, a particular kind of like emo streak that pervades his music. There's a lot of LCD Sound System-esque sort of synth hooks happening there. And just super, super powerful scream singing. It's giving me like Lucero. It's giving me Band of Horses.
I got a little, maybe it's because of his voice and like how deep it is, but I got a little like The National.
The National for sure. Frightened Rabbit, I think, is in that same sort of zone. And I it's been a while since I've kind of like, I've all the bands I've mentioned, I've enjoyed at some point or another in my life, but mostly when I was like younger and had like more time for angst. It's hard to make time for angst in my life now as it is.
Yeah.
But man alive, I have been really reconnecting with my roots over the last 48 hours.
I bet.
So the song Justin sent me was called Don't Tell the Boys, which is just this hell yeah ballad of profound vulnerability, just this full-throated appreciation for deep and platonic friendship. And a lot of his music is like this. Like a lot of his music is, you know, talks about angsty or very vulnerable things, but delivered through this like very thick lens of like yeehaw machismo. That is like funny. Like it is funny that those two things are up against each other, but then very quickly that humor gets peeled back just enough for you to see like the angst inside of it. And holy shit, that is like, that feels very targeted for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play a little bit of Don't Tell the Boys, and by which I mean editor Rachel's going to play some of Don't Tell the Boys now. This verse that I want to play swept the legs out from under me for obvious reasons. I will say, spoilers for the OC. Skip ahead like a minute if you are ever planning on hearing the OC, but if not, please enjoy Don't Tell the Boys.
Don't tell the boys that we don't spend the week inside and watch three seasons of the OC till Marissa fucking dies. And no, Tom's a more like Ryan, you're a little more like Seth, you're so quick-witted when we talk about what happens after death. Heard your brother's in the desert, he's been fighting for our freedom.
This is like a perfect example of what I'm talking about, his music being like so disarming, because there's this just upfront humor about talking about the OC just in the middle of this song, which is very funny. But then it hits you with a line like, you're so quick, you're more like Seth, you're so quick-witted when we talk about what happens after death. It's like, oh, damn, like you're over here looking at this OC joke and then... comes at you from the other way. Oh my god, it's so good. I am a sucker for this type of like well constructed, sort of deep thought.
It's so
music.
Like epic in what it covers.
Yeah,
you know, like there have been a lot of songs I think that try and like tackle this like theme of like friendship, but like. Like the song is like about that and like what it means to be like a man.
Right. And it's, you know, between these lines that are like, join my little cult. We'll talk about the childhood traumas that shaped us as adults. And then you just hear him go like, come on now. It's like those things back up against each other in a way that is, it feels earned and it feels like completely authentic and genuine, while also being like super funny and poignant. Like,
I was glad. I was glad you sent me the video because I found the video really charming.
The video is just him and his buddy just like going hiking and spinning around and like lounging in bed and watching the OC in their underwear, like
and
very
then like
pure and
wrestling
good.
Out
and
then, in the woods
so Don't Tell the Boys has joined this like pantheon of like, oh, I'm gonna listen to this song for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
but I wanted to also highlight one of his first breakout songs is called Haircut, which features vocals from returning wonderful artist Mia Folick. Or is it Mia Folick?
I actually don't know.
I don't remember. This was a long time ago. This was like episode 50 that you brought Mia Folick to the show.
I still listen to her music, though.
She fucking rules.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and she's very good on this song, too. So I'm going to play a little bit of Haircut to take us out.
I was in a quarter life crisis and I couldn't explain. I've been feeling so different about all the same things. Remember that summer that I shaved my head just to prove that
so yeah, I am like in the nascent stages of this like afterglow of finding this artist whose work like I think it just rules and feels like it was made for me. And also his TikToks are just like universally hysterical, which doesn't feel especially fair. It feels like you're sucking up all the talent and keeping it just for yourself. But yeah, that's Petey. He's Petey USA on TikTok if you want to watch that. But his if you've liked the two songs I've played here, just go listen to the rest of his music, because it's like it's all really good, man. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Thanks. (10) 9 8 7 6 5 4 3 2 1 Blast off into wealth and financial security and responsibility with Rocket Money.
Oh, that's the countdown.
The countdown is for the rocket. Uh-huh. They have to do that, because if not, people stand under the rocket of Rocket Money. They get all burnt up dead.
Yeah.
So powerful is the force of this fuel as it's oxidized and ejected. But for you, some people get burnt up by the rocket, but you're going to save a buttload of money on things like subscriptions you don't need anymore, that maybe you didn't know you had anymore, that Rocket Money can not only identify for you, but also help you get them canceled.
I also get these little notifications that are like, hey, did you know that you spent this much money on this very particular online store? And I'm like, whoa, I am spending too much money in that online store. I would not have noticed it otherwise.
Rachel's candle habit was putting us out of house and home.
Do you know you're spending $750 a month on candles?
Well, not no more, because Rocket Money showed you the error of your ways. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. That is wild. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful.
Oh, I hope they've got the bread bowl. Have you seen the bread bowl at this place?
Mm-hmm. Good evening. Welcome to Maximum Fun. Have you been here before?
It's her first time.
Very good. Might I recommend our special?
Oh, please.
Can I interest you in the Max Fun Drive? I'm told they're cooking up something quite extraordinary this year.
I've heard about this. With limited time thank you gifts for new and upgrading members?
That's right.
We'll take it.
How would you like your episodes?
Can I get them excellent with new Boko on the side? Yeah. Oh, are there live stream events?
Absolutely. You know, if you're interested in events, Meetup Day is returning.
What? Oh, you're gonna love Meetup Day. It's the best.
Okay, let me make sure I have everything. Max Fun Drive 2023 with limited time thank you gifts, live stream events, meetup day, excellent episodes, and of course, new bonus content.
Sounds perfect.
Great. We'll get it started and it'll be ready in 2 weeks, March 20th.
Oh, can we also get a couple of waters?
Of course.
Where am I?
On Maximum Fun.
What do you want?
A podcast miniseries about The Prisoner.
Whose side are you on?
That would be telling, but okay, I'm on my own side. It's one of my favorite ever TV shows. We want a podcast on it. A Prisoner podcast.
You won't get it.
By hook or by crook, we will.
Who are you?
I'm Elliot Kalin.
Who is number one?
Jesse Thorne. But you are John Hodgman.
I am not a Prisoner podcaster. I am a free man. Oh, are you okay? Elliot, are you all right? Okay, I'll watch it.
All four episodes of Bee Potting You are out now.
I see a book.
Yeah, you know what that means.
It could mean anything, but I assume it means that we're going to go to not one of the sides of the room, but where those sides can join.
And that is a corner.
Yeah.
And the corner has poetry.
Poetry.
I like that you switched it up.
Yeah, I don't want to be predictable.
I want to keep things fresh. You know? I don't want people to be like, oh, poetry corner again.
In a marriage and in a podcast. Podcast is like a marriage.
Oh, okay.
Let's explore that.
Okay, sure. I mean, I was going to talk about my thing, but
I really would prefer that.
Okay. I wanted to just start by reading the poem.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Baby.
Because that's how I found this poet.
Okay, let's see it.
I've started like picking up anthologies because I'm trying to find poets I wouldn't find otherwise.
Right.
And so I went to a bookstore not too far from where we are called Politics and Prose.
Yeah.
And it's really a wonderful bookstore.
The most DC-ass name for a business I've ever heard.
I walked in and I thought it was going to be all like New Yorker cartoons on the wall, but it is not. It is very friendly. It is very accessible.
The building you've just described sounds so hostile to me.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like New Yorker cartoons and like, I don't know, like pictures from like Meet the Press.
Yeah, pictures from Meet the Press for sure. Meet the Press is always putting out some really high-flying pictures. What are we reading today?
So the book I got, the anthology I got, is called The Path to Kindness, Poems of Connection and Joy. And it is just an anthology of like, you know, good vibes.
Good.
And so the poet I found in this anthology is called Brad Aaron Modlin. In fact, one might say his name is Brad Aaron Modlin. It's not just that he is called that. I'm not sure why I framed that way.
I don't know. It's fun. You got to keep it fresh.
The poem title is What You Missed That Day You Were Absent from Fourth Grade. Mrs. Nelson explained how to stand still and listen to the wind, how to find meaning in pumping gas, how peeling potatoes can be a form of prayer. She took questions on how not to feel lost in the dark. After lunch, she distributed worksheets that covered ways to remember your grandfather's voice. Then the class discussed falling asleep without feeling you had forgotten to do something else, something important, and how to believe the house you wake in is your home. This prompted Mrs. Nelson to draw a chalkboard diagram detailing how to chant the Psalms during cigarette breaks, how not to squirm for sound when your own thoughts are all you hear, also that you have enough. The English lesson was that I am is a complete sentence, and just before the afternoon bell, she made the math equation look easy, the one that proves that hundreds of questions and feeling cold and all those nights spent looking for whatever it was you lost and one person add up to something.
That's great.
Isn't that great?
That's really great.
The poem, I mean, the title and like the concept of it is genius.
Right.
Like this feeling as you become an adult that you just missed a bunch of like critical information. Uh-huh. And then being able to pinpoint those days you were absent and think like, was that, did it happen and I missed it?
Yeah.
Like I have a very like telling story specifically in middle school when I was sick almost the entire week that teachers were covering sex ed.
Oh, honey.
There was this, I remember I was there the first day and there was this suggestion that we were going to like have a whole unit on it in our science class. And then at the end, we would watch a baby be born. And everybody was like, oh God, oh God, oh God. And then I was just sick, literally, like actually not faking sick the rest of the week. And now when I pinpoint some of my sexual awkwardness, I think, was it that week? Was that the week?
And also, I remember when you were pregnant with Henry, there were a lot of sort of misconceptions there about like, you were like, is it going to hurt like my, you were like, is it going to hurt my butt when the baby comes out? And I and the doctor were like, oh, Rachel, that's not part of it.
But yeah, I love this poem. I love a poem that like kind of deftly includes humor.
Yeah.
Without, you know, being like specifically a funny poem,
sure.
You know? So I got really excited about this poet and then I did some more research on him. As I mentioned, it's Brad Modlin. He is a associate professor at the University of Nebraska, Kearney. He's originally from Ontario. And the book that this poem comes from is called Everyone at This Party Has Two Names.
That's good.
Which I love. Yeah, he got his PhD in creative writing, his MFA in creative writing, and then his bachelor's was in English with an emphasis in creative writing. So
that like, seems like, how much can you learn about creative writing?
He really put all his eggs in this basket and it worked out for him.
I guess so. Be a shame if he was like, I'm kind of over creative writing. Because it feels like you've really kind of pigeonholed yourself a little bit.
It's a really dangerous path to take.
Don't you want to do some like technical, right? Just write some technical manuals? Not that that's not hard work, but you can kind of, you know, turn it. You can be a little bit more right-brained.
The poem I read has actually been featured in a few places. It was in this podcast that I wasn't familiar with actually until recently called The Slowdown. And it's just a podcast that comes out every like work day. And it's just like a 5-minute long podcast with a poem.
Wow.
And so they have like a poet pick a poem. And the poet actually that picked this poem was Ada Limón, which I thought, like, oh sure. My gosh, we keep crossing paths.
Yeah. Serendipity.
But yeah, she featured it. It was also on another poetry podcast called Poetry Unbound, which has kind of a similar concept of like, hey, here's a poem. That's your podcast. See you next time.
You need to start doing the circuit of poetry podcasts, I feel like.
I mean, these aren't like chat shows. These are just like, hi, I'm this person and I like this poem and now I'm going to read it.
Yeah, that's profoundly different from what you literally just did and are currently still doing on this podcast right now.
I'm not a poet laureate.
No, you just went to school for poetry for like 100 years.
So do a
You're
lot of
basically
people.
A child sort of reading Shel Silverstein. No, babe. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Well, all right. I guess if you're listening now and have a poetry podcast, let me know.
Yeah. I shouldn't volunteer you to co-host like that.
Yeah, what if I like that other podcast better?
Your hair looks so good today. Rachel just got a haircut and I think it looks great. I'm not saying this to you to like butter you up and keep the heat here. I'm not like scared about losing the heat from this podcast. Like, I know you're ride or die. I just think your hair looks really cute.
Thank you. I mean, not to derail the show, but I have learned, you know how they tell you like, oh, you should get your hair cut every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I thought, come on. No, you should.
You should.
It really helps.
It's a month. Did you know it's a month for me? If I go longer than a month, it starts to get, I'm like 5 weeks now and it's getting a little bit wild. I love a haircut though. Still trying to find that special someone here in DC. I've been bouncing around. If you have any recommendation, this is your segment and I don't want to run roughshod all over it talking about the sort of difficulties of having my special hair.
Usually when I read the poem of a poet that is currently practicing and publishing, I will reach out to them via any social media I can find and let them know, hey, just so you know, we're going to talk about your poem. I wanted you to know because you know, I'm celebrating your work. But I feel like Brad is going to be really let down if I reach out to him and say, hey, we talked about your poem. We loved it. We also talked about haircuts for about 15 minutes in the middle.
You know, but that's what is that if not poetry? See, and you can just play that. See, this is why poets are so easy because you can just say that.
I know.
Right?
And there was part of me that was like, oh, is it?
Yeah. In fact, I would say in pretty much any social circle, if you're ever sort of uncomfortable with the way that the conversation is going, you can just say the sentence, what is that if not poetry?
Uh-huh.
And the people will either be like, oh, wow, or they'll be so confused, but that'll give you some time to get out of there.
Maybe we should stop calling this segment the Poetry Corner and start calling it What is that if not poetry? If not poetry.
Ooh, that's a good name for your poetry podcast.
If not poetry.
It sounds weird, actually, when you sort of separate it without the context.
I like it.
If not poetry, question mark?
Just to kind of to close out our very brief segment, I will say that the other thing that I like about this poet is he is very collaborative. He's done poetry that has been the basis of orchestral scores.
Wow.
He worked with an artist for a Brooklyn art exhibition. He's done speeches, meditations. He's also got a book of short stories. He's a talented poet, somebody who is very early in their career, and I was excited to find him and get on board.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun. We brought similar stuff from different fields.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, just kind of a like a funny but full of heart.
Yeah.
Kind of episode.
That poem hit me hard because I missed so much school.
Yeah.
And I think it's what sort of imbued me with the absolutely all-encompassing imposter syndrome that I struggle with on a day-to-day basis. Because it's like, at a certain point, you miss too much school, and then you feel like, oh, shit. They introduced some sort of, like, topic
there
here
are a
that
lot
the rest
of
this math is going to build upon for the rest of the year.
There are a lot of books. I'll be like, Griffin, you know, remember, you know, when everybody had to read Catcher in the Rye in school, and you're like,
I wasn't so absent from school that I fully didn't
I feel
read
like
a
maybe
book.
You missed a whole book.
I just was never assigned that book. I just didn't read that book. I don't know, man. I read lots of other books.
I think you would like
Ask me another book. I bet I read it.
Grapes of Wrath.
No. That's a big one, huh?
That is a big one.
Is that the one about the two guys who work at the farm and one of them's like the rabbits and then there's
of Mice and Men you're thinking of.
That's Mice and Men. Read that one. Is that a play?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes play, sometimes book.
I love that. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for these for our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network.
Yeah, the buzz about the drive has started.
Shit.
We got our special early access to some of the pledge gifts this year.
Very exciting stuff.
Very exciting.
We have a virtual live Mabim Bam coming up next week, March 17th. I believe it's at 9 o'clock Eastern Time PM. And you can get tickets if you go to macroy.family. You can find a link to that. We also have some tour dates coming up. You can check those out as well. I don't know what's announced, so I'm not going to just sort of like guess. We did just announce that we're going to be doing Moon Tower in Austin, which is exciting, in April, I believe the 13th. Again, I'm just shooting from the hip here. We don't have notes up for this segment of the show, and I'm so sorry. I'm doing my best.
But
go to macroy.family. It's all there. And yeah, we got merch over at macroymerch.com too, if you like that kind of stuff, if you're into that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
That's it, though. This is a short one, but that's fine, because now you can get back to doing whatever it is you're doing. Now we've filled your cup.
Yeah, and what is a short podcast if not poetry?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, it's so, the potential is so huge.
I know. Money won't pay.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.